author Michael Chabon's literary career began here in Pittsburgh, and it was the setting for his first two novels. Now Chabon returns to the city on December 9th to discuss his new novel Moonglow at an event hosted by the University of Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Music Hall in Oakland. Moonglow's narrator shares a name with the book's author, first name Michael, last name Chabon, and a comparable life story as well. The novel is a family history of sorts, an account of the deathbed confessions of the narrator's grandfather, a World War II veteran, an ex-convict, and aerospace entrepreneur. But while some of the biographical details might be similar to Chabon's own, he cautions against interpreting the book as a memoir, a point he made clear when he recently spoke with 90.5 WESA's Josh Rollerson.
How should we read this book? Is this properly understood as a work of fiction that maybe takes some liberties with some facts, or is this a fictional story that draws on biographical detail?
You know, it's a novel. It's clearly labeled a novel on the front cover and on the title page. You know, this is a work of fiction in which real life events, real world figures, and authentic family stories from my history are intermingled with lots of pure invention. But, you know, I would argue that that's probably the case with a lot of memoirs, too. You know, even the most scrupulous memoirist is, to some degree or another, with varying degrees of openness, depending on which memoirist we're talking about, fictionalizing and inventing and reconstructing. And sometimes that invention and reconstruction is conscious and deliberate, and sometimes it is unconscious and accidental.
So leaving the facts aside maybe then and focusing just on the truth, did writing this book bring you to some better understanding of the truth of who your grandfather was, you know, what his generation went through, or was that even the aim?
Yes. I mean, in a way, certainly. I was definitely motivated by a desire to depict my grandparents' generation and shape stories out of their stories that I hadn't really shaped before, even though I have worked with this kind of material in the past to one degree or another. I felt there was a lot I really hadn't said. And in the case of my grandparents and the prevailing cultural narrative of that generation, which has that convenient label, the greatest generation, I test that against my own experience. And part of me looks at that and says, yes, that generation accomplished incredible feats. But is that all there is to it? Does that tell the whole story on a large macro cultural historical level? And does it tell the whole story individually about the people who made up that generation? And without impugning those accomplishments or trying to diminish the importance of the various things they did, including, of course, defeating Hitler, they were just people. They just happened to be born when they happened to be born. And to me, it's not entirely impossible that any group of people who came of age when those people happened to come of age would have done what those people did. And furthermore, let's actually look at what happened then and see that it was not just the noble, honorable, difficult, admirable things that were done by that generation. It was all the things they were fighting against were also done. And then looking at my individual relatives and my family and looking at them saying, yes, this is my grandpa. He was a wonderful man, but he was also a man. And even though he never told me a whole lot about any kinds of compromises that he had made and things that he had done that he was less than proud of, surely, given the fact that he was a human being like me, he did all of those things too. And where is that story, and why wasn't I told it? And grandparents are sort of, in a way, they can be the least examined people in your family story. They tend to get idealized, and I wanted to just try to really see clearly. And the way for me to do that, since I'm a novelist, is by making up a story.
As I've been reading your book, I keep thinking about how so many of your stories go back to the World War II era and, you know, the Depression and the rise of, you know, fascism and anti-Semitism and, you know, immigration and displacement of refugees resulting. These are recurring themes with you. I'm really curious how you've experienced this election and, you know, how you're feeling, I guess.
Well, I am feeling stronger and better now. You know, I've come to see that everything that I think is most admirable about America, about American history, American culture, the moments in our history that I am most proud of are the moments when things were the darkest, you know, and the movements that arose in response to that darkness, whether it's abolition or the labor movement or the civil rights movement or the effort to crush fascism. Looking back, that's when I feel proudest to be an American. And without the overwhelming weight of insidious, inhuman, greedy structures of oppression, you know, those moments would never have arisen. I'd have nothing to be proud of then without that. And so, you know, I look at this moment now and I'm starting to feel like, well, this is our moment now. This is our, we have to rise to this occasion.